Greetings, fellow seekers, and welcome to The Global Entity, a blog, a movement, and now, finally, a podcast. Almost 2 years ago, I decided to uproot my life in Sweden to search for my purpose in life. Since then, I have been slow traveling Africa and sharing it through writing. I am Julia, your messy philosophical friend who believes that everyone has a purpose, and here I am searching for mine. By sharing my journey, I hope to ignite the spark of possibility within you, dear listener, because living through the heart isn't necessarily about dancing under the African sky. It's about embracing the wild, untamed beauty of your own existence. So hit that follow button and subscribe, because trust me, you won't want to miss a beat. Without further ado, let's dive into today's post. Fear and Freedom: Reflections on Solo Travel as a Woman. The best of traveling on my own. Traveling solo as a woman is the absolute best decision I have made for myself. I did my first solo trip when I just turned 21 years old, after returning home from an internship in South Africa. I believe solo traveling has the capacity to make or break you. Personally, it has forced me to be comfortable in the unknown, as well as making me more confident and assertive in what I believe in and want. Solo traveling as a woman has disproved and busted so many of my fears, prejudices, and internalized definitions about myself and the world that doesn't actually serve me. Traveling on my own has in many ways set me free in how I identify and relate to myself, but it has also shown me how very gendered the world is. Solo traveling as a woman can in many ways be exhausting. For example, I've become hyper-vigilant whenever interacting with authority like the local police or migration when traveling alone. Too many times the fear of rape has crossed my mind when I get stopped in the middle of the night by an officer who first takes my passport and then asks for my number in the same sentence. The abuse of power in this situation is completely ignored by the officer, who sees no problem in asking for a bribe, a date, and accusing me of a crime while cheekily asking for a kiss and if I have a local boyfriend yet. More solo travel dilemmas, women edition. While traveling Mozambique, my time in Tofu was probably where I experienced the most limiting gender dynamics. So much so, I almost called this blog post 2 months in paradise, a hostile experience. Here it wasn't the police harassing me, but the local boys and young men. April is during Tofu's low tourist season, and perhaps that can help explain the intensity and amount of unsolicited, quite aggressive pursuits of attention from what is locally known as beach boys. The amount of attention, the demand to give, respond, finance, never ended in Tofu. It got exhausting to go out in the evenings because of the amount of no's I had to say, and how firm I had to be. It's not just that it takes a lot of energy to navigate, or that I'm always having to police my impulse to not be rude, even when I should. It is the fact that underneath the gendering roles we play in the mundane is the power dynamics of possible violence. The term beach boy is often derogatorily used to describe the group of young local men who work or associate themselves with tourists. They either meet the tourists as instructors, guides, or bartenders, or they hang around on the beach trying to get lucky. Common trait is that they use their personal relationship with the tourists for economic gain. Some people call it prostitution, others call it capitalism in life. However you may define it, I hated it. It made me uncomfortable as there was nowhere I could exist without being expected to fill that role. It also made me see how deeply socially exploitative the tourism mechanisms can be. Had Tofu not been turned into the tourist destination it is today, who knows how these men and boys would choose to navigate the world. Story time. Solo travel safety in Tofu. One night I got a call from another female traveler. We had met a few weeks earlier in Maputo and had decided to meet up again when we were both in Tofu. "Julia, I'm so sorry to call you at this hour. I just don't know what to do." The panic in her voice was evident. She tells me how she had wanted to ensure another tourist woman got home safe. The woman was too drunk to go home alone when suddenly the drunk girl's supposed boyfriend shows up and wants to take her with him. My friend tells him no. She only knows they've gone out a few dates before, but she doesn't really know how close they actually are. The drunk girl in question is practically passed out at this point and can't argue her case. The supposed boyfriend gets angry. My friend continues, "I couldn't do it, Julia. She's so drunk and he's scary, but he got so mad when I said I was taking her home. He said I should watch myself here, that he knows everyone here." The fear is present. I swear under my breath, Just a few hours earlier, we had been dancing and drinking under the stars together, and now she was filled with fear. She continued telling me how he had trailed behind them until the girlfriend's hotel, and how she now didn't dare to walk back to her own hotel across town. There are no official taxis here, and she just didn't know what to do. Even though it was late, I rushed to the owner of my hostel and explained the situation. She allowed me to borrow the hostel's truck and one of the staff members to go looking for my friend. After 15 minutes of driving out into the dark outskirts of Tofu, we find my friend carefully looking out from a gate. She is so grateful and relieved and cannot stop thanking me. We ride back to her hotel on the backside of the truck, looking up at the stars. I take her hand, squeezing it tightly as she continues to apologize profusely for interrupting my night. Sitting safe on the truck, she starts feeling like she turned something silly out of nothing. Always call. I look at her dead in the eyes and say it again. Don't feel stupid. You'd feel really stupid if you were dead. Always call. She nods, a bit baffled by my serious answer, but that's how I felt. After dropping her off at her hotel and waving her goodnight, it hits me. Who would I call if I needed to? In South Africa, I have a solid network of women who love me and who would drive out in the middle of nowhere if I needed it. Here, in Mozambique, I am very much alone. Looking over at the driver, I am reminded again that I, in many ways, exist at the mercy of others, especially when I travel. Coming from a hyper-individual society, this insight is therapeutic on many levels, but as a woman, it is terrifying at worst, and limiting at least. Alright guys, that was it for today. As some of you know, this blogcast is part of a larger travel platform that specializes in festivals and social sustainable tourism. If you want to check it out and join our community and get the latest news, the link to theglobalentity.com is in the bio. There you can also find my email address. If you have something to say, something to share, or maybe give me a tip, send me a few lines and let me know what you think. If you enjoy this blogcast and want to support what I do, please give it a great rating on your podcast streaming platform. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, A Few Podcasts, and anywhere really where you get your podcasts. Have a great week and don't forget to dance. Sound and tech production today was Tawanda Joseph Mutsena. Author and producer is me, Julia Sarantes Anderson. See you next time.